This is WHTC in Holland. Time now for Talk of the Town, the program in which you, the listeners, participate with your telephone calls. Our Talk of the Town number, 395-1450. Our guest this morning is Superintendent of Schools Brian Davis. Good morning, Brian.
Good morning, Juke.
Welcome back to the program again.
Oh, it's my pleasure to be here.
And we have some things to talk about, and of course, I'll tell the folks if they have a question along the way, feel free to call us, 395-1450. You can talk directly to the school superintendent. Let's talk a little bit about the board meeting last night.
Yes, our regular board meeting is always held the third Monday of each month over at East K7 in the cafeteria there. And just a reminder to the public that those meetings are open to the public. It's where the Board of Education does their business work in public. And we were able to host several students from Hope College last night as part of their political science or education classes. So we had probably about 10 to 15 students there who were taking notes and trying to understand the governance structure of a local entity such as a school board, and I believe we're also going to be doing that at the city level in terms of a city council meeting. And one of the things that we shared with them is our board meetings typically last about an hour, and there's a lot of action items that are typically taken with not a lot of discussion. And we stopped the meeting a little bit to explain our governance structure in that we have different committees. We have an executive committee. We have that primarily focuses on policy and school governance and strategic planning. We have a teaching for learning committee whose main charge, obviously, is curriculum development, school improvement, and overall student achievement. Then we have a finance and property committee who addresses overall district finances, but also has been very mindful of how we're utilizing the resources relative to our bond campaign. They all meet as individual committees the first week of the month. The second week of the month, we have a board work session. We call it Committee of the Whole, where all the committees then come together, and they share the items that they're working on, any motions or action items that the board will need to consider. That's where the real discussion takes place around topics, debate back and forth, talking about different policy pieces, asking for clarification. So when the board does their third meeting in public, then it seems to go along rather quickly with a lot of discussion, and we needed to remind individuals that it's not because that discussion doesn't take place. It just takes place at different committee-level meetings. Right. Those meetings are also open to the public as well. So we welcome those students from Hope College, and I hope as they wrote their papers last night that they did those in fine order and ready to turn those in this morning. But at our meeting last night, we had a lot of discussion. We always begin with some highlights in trying to increase, we call it increasing advocacy and understanding. And it's really meant to inform the community about what may or may not be happening in Lansing and what that impact might have on our local school district.
Right.
So last night we spoke a great deal about the Common Core. And individuals in the community may be watching this and staying in tune with it or not, depending upon if you have children or grandchildren in the school system or how much you follow the politics of things. And I would like to share that our Board of Education passed a resolution last night, as did many other school districts here in Ottawa County and across the state, to encourage our legislators to continue their support of the implementation of the Common Core state standards. And there's been a lot of discussion since 2010 when the Michigan Department of Education and the State Board of Education adopted the Common Core standards. This was after a lot of work by the National Governors Association and a number of different groups that have come together to talk about what is the curriculum that needs to be in place, not just in local districts, but across states and even across our country, that will better prepare our students to be globally competitive, especially as we look at the achievement levels of students across the globe, as we look at the different standards that are in place, as we look at the different students going on to post-secondary, as we look at economic growth and development. And as we look at research about what are those component parts that need to be embedded in critical part of our standards, there's been a lot of question or concern about, well, if states are developing these, or is it a national curriculum, and are we moving towards a federalist movement, or what impact should government have or not have on the development of standards? And in the end, what I really firmly believe in our teachers who have been working on this and our individuals leading our curriculum development is having a common set of standards that are well-known, understood, have high levels of rigor and expectations and equity built in for all students who are connected or that are connected to global learning and 21st century skills is very important to have to build consistency across our state. We have a lot of mobility of students that transfer in and out of districts, even with here in our Holland community. Holland Public in West Ottawa, we're sharing students on a very regular basis as individuals move for different reasons, based upon housing or child care. We have students who move in and out of state all the time. And so as students experience these mobile patterns, to be able to have the same kind of common standards in place, I think, are very important. The standards, however, don't define your actual curriculum. The curriculum is how you map out how you're going to teach those standards, what resources you're going to use, the textbooks, and how you supplement that. And we've been working for the past 2 years, as many districts here in Ottawa County, to align our standards and our curriculum now to that and to begin implementation this year. A lot of staff development around that. And certainly there's going to take additional time to get our standards in place. The piece, I think, that's caused some confusion around this is the assessments that are tied to the Common Core curriculum. And one of the entities that's being considered is called Smarter Balanced Assessment. And what's nice about these new assessment measures is they're actually delivered online, and so that you can get more immediate feedback in terms of how students are achieving and what progress they're making, what their growth marks are, and where we as a school district or individual grade levels or department need to come back and review the curriculum and say, where are we missing the mark and where are we hitting it right on the nose? And a lot of these new assessments are delivered online with technology. And, of course, anything new with technology, there's always some bugs in the system that have to be worked out with that. So what really is exciting me, though, about the Common Core State Standards is several members of our business community have also come out and endorsed and are supportive of these new standards as well. And so rather than our business community saying, schools, you're doing things wrong, you're not preparing a workforce, there's not talent development, or even our post-secondary institutions, those three entities coming together from those three different sectors around a common set of standards, I think, is a very positive move and is going to improve and lift the overall achievement in all of our schools, not only here in Ottawa County, here in the city of Holland, but across the country as well. And as we meet as local superintendents, this is also work that Holland Christian has been working on as well throughout the past couple of years. And it's also work that our local charter schools like Black River has been working on too. So as I talk with Shannon Brunick from Black River, as I talk with Glenn Voss from Holland Christian, my colleagues Cal DeKuyper in Zeeland and Tom Martin in West Ottawa, Dave Tebow in Hamilton, Rolf Timmerman in Saugatuck, here in the Holland, Greater Holland, Zeeland area, we're all working towards the implementation of these Common Core State Standards. And I really believe in a 2 to 3 year period of time, we're going to see much different results occurring from each of our school systems. The other piece with these is that they are very much more oriented to real-world application of standards and skills. So I'm not just learning math for the sake of learning math, but how is that applied and what's the relevance that in a career, in the real-world setting, providing relevance to why I have to learn what I have to learn.
Okay, let's take time out for a word here.
To begin receiving the text message every weekday afternoon, we'll provide you the three lowest reported prices on your phone or mobile device. Get the lowest prices on fuel by texting GAS to 80373.
And we're here with the superintendent this morning, and if you have a question, you may call us at 395-1450. Our line is open. Anything else that came up at the board meeting?
Well, there certainly were some more pieces, but I want to come back to the Common Core just to provide an update where it's at now currently.
Okay.
So before the legislators left for their summer recess, tied to the fiscal budget, specifically to the school aid fund, was whether or not these Common Core state standards were going to stay in place or whether or not they were going to put a hiatus on them.
Mm-hmm.
And there was a last-minute resolution, from what I understand, from some members of a party, and basically what happened, you had individuals wanting to make sure we had a fiscal budget in place by June. An amendment got added that said then the Michigan Department of Education could no longer spend any more resources on the implementation of the Common Core State Standards until a committee was able to study and have some open public comment, even though throughout this period of time since 2010, there's been several opportunities for public comment at a variety of different levels. So there's been a smaller subcommittee of the House Education Committee who has been doing hearings on the Common Core Standards. And we're anticipating that here within the next couple of weeks or so, we're hoping anyway, that the legislators are going to take action on that. And if individuals are interested in learning more about the Common Core State Standards, 21st Century Learning, Project-Based Learning, and so on, the League of Women Voters here in Holland are actually sponsoring an event next Tuesday, September 24th at 7 p.m. at the Herrick District Library. And they have a lineup of speakers who are going to be there to talk about some more details around the Common Core State Standards. Yes, it's a great idea. Jason Posada from the Ottawa Area Intermediate School District will be there. He will be sharing some of his thoughts on the Common Core State Standards and Project-Based Learning, 21st Century Learning. And then also Linda Jordan, who is on the faculty at Hope College. We'll be sharing a lot of research relative to that as well. So I encourage individuals who are interested in learning more to understand the facts versus the fiction and the myths versus the realities and maybe a little bit of conspiracy theory too.
Well, it's not knowing exactly what it's all about.
It is. It is. And there's a lot of misinformation that is out there. We continue to monitor our construction projects. So we talked about that last night at our board meeting. We call it our Build 21 update. We're building 21st century infrastructure to support 21st century learning. Certainly our biggest project this year was our construction over at West K7. Externally, it may not look like a lot happened, but internally we had to gut a lot of systems from the infrastructure that supported technology, the infrastructure that supported heating and cooling, the infrastructure that supported water flow and sewage and all the water line systems, and a lot of things that are above your head and below your feet. But we just want to really thank GDK and OAK. They came together, and GDK on site there really did an amazing amount of work. They probably did about what would normally be 8 months of construction in a three-month period of time, because you can't do major construction during the school year.
Right.
There's a lot of loose ends that they're still finishing up. Construction's still happening there. Throughout the summer, we had over 100 contractors on site almost every day working, and the staff just did an incredible job. And we'll be having an open house for the community to come in to take a look at that. But if you're interested in seeing more, stop in the front office, and I'm sure one of our administrators would be happy to show people. And then, of course, the other main construction project still underway is over at the high school. We're probably about 85% complete there, and we will be having an open house in January to welcome the community in at large to be able to see the construction projects taking shape there.
And let me take this call.
Sure.
Good morning, you're online. Well, I guess not. Okay.
That's okay. Maybe I answered their question. But certainly, we again are very, very humbled by our community supporting us in 2010. And the patience of our neighbors that live in those immediate neighborhoods about some of the inconveniences with construction, all that brings upon.
24th Street.
24th Street was really interesting for us this year, of course. You know, a little bit of cones back on Washington Avenue this morning and dealing with a couple of things. But, you know, the city has really worked hard to try to make those projects be as effective and as efficient as possible. I really appreciate the communication from the city and letting us know, because certainly that impacts pedestrian traffic, car traffic, and
buses. That's right. Well, so we're underway with the school year.
We are.
And that's good.
It is good. The excitement around our open houses was really overwhelming. We had not only our parents and their students coming back with the eagerness and excitement about school, but a lot of community members and grandmas and grandpas, neighbors that wanted to come in and see some of the new construction and renovations.
Right.
I remember being at the high school. The open house was set to begin at 7, and by about 6:15, people began lining up.
Really?
And at the main entrance and the student entrance on the backside, and they had their hands up to the glass and trying to look through and get that first sneak peek. And by about 5 minutes to 7, there was well over 1,000 people lined up in anticipation to come in. And we jokingly said, kind of feels like Black Friday after Thanksgiving, and we've got a big sale going on, and people kind of chuckled just as you did, and I said, yeah, but who's going to go open the doors?
That's right.
Because everybody is here. But it was just jam-packed all night long, and it was just great to see so much excitement around the school year. I was at a soccer game last night at Holland Christian and just talking with students from the high school, and the kids excited to be back to school. They're excited to be in their new learning spaces. Certainly, we've continued with our technology launch with the iPads. We implemented some Chromebooks this year as well. Just a lot of excitement around that.
Yeah.
And so we hope that continues, and all of our partners that work together with us to support our academic programs, we just encourage
them. Who guarantees their work? Call Shastma now and schedule your $89 comprehensive furnace tune-up. Call 616-796-0077. Shastma.com. Bryant, whatever it takes.
And a quick look at our weather here. The weather is brought to you by the Wooden Shoe Restaurant. Come in for lunch and pick a pair. And the weather says a high of 72 today with sunny weather and cloudy tonight with a low of 52. And tomorrow, some sun, some clouds, a high of 77. And right now it's 45 degrees in the Tulip City. And we're talking to the superintendent of schools, Brian Davis. And if you would like to talk to him, you can do that too. 395-1450. All you have to do is call. Well, let's talk about the expanding technology. How are we dealing with that?
We are, sorry, I was Speaking of expanding technology, I was here downloading the free mobile app for WHTC here on my iPhone, and I plugged in my code incorrectly, so I had to do that over again. Just one of the many things we're always learning about technology and the ways in which to do that. And the implementation of technology is really exciting. It's nice to see that come together, and we have we're working with Communications by Design. They have assisted us with the development of the infrastructure, but right now they are working with training all of our teachers. And about 115 teachers this summer went through what we call two-day briefing events, where we're really talking about different learning management systems for communication, being able to communicate with parents, being able to post curriculum and take online assessments with students. It's called Edmodo. And doing a lot with technology integration. We're working with the Florida Center for Instructional Technology and providing some additional training and development there, and providing shoulder-to-shoulder coaching all throughout the school year. Because at the high school level, in grades 8 through 12, we are in a one-to-one environment. So all of our students, whether at New Tech Holland High School or at VR Tech, have some level of device that they use with them all day long. So at VR Tech, they have a desktop computer. At Holland New Tech, they have a Chromebook. They also have access to some laptops, desktops, and some iPads, but their primary device is the Chromebook. And then at Holland High School, we are one-to-one with iPads. And different devices for different purposes for different learning needs. We really believe that 21st century learning is not about one single device. It's really about the application and integration of that device into their learning. And then at the K-7 level now, we're at about a 3-to-1 ratio when you factor in the computer labs that we still have in place, but also iPads at the K-7 level now, and we also have Chromebooks in grades 6 and 7. Again, really trying to match the device to what the task is, whether we're learning and consuming or we're producing new information or producing our types of learning, how do we access the Internet and so on. Only at the 8-12 level, however, at New Tech and at the high school, are those tablet devices actually going home with students. It was great when our finance director comes in and he says, you know, I was having dinner last night, stopped on my way home from a meeting at McDonald's on the north side of town, and one of our students was there, and he had out his iPad, and he was actually working in the booth next to our finance director. Because the student didn't actually have wireless connectivity at home, but we've identified the different public Wi-Fi spots across the community, and he happened to be closer to that location at that time, and so our finance director was actually able to engage in a conversation around what he was doing. And he wasn't there texting his friends or doing his fantasy football picks for college game day or anything like that. He was engaged in doing his homework, looking up resources, completing some online assessments, and so on. So that was really encouraging to see that we truly have taken the learning beyond the classroom walls. And it was even more powerful for my finance director to see that, too, who's always watching the investment of our resources.
So it's interesting just to have kids interested in doing that outside of school.
It is. They are connected now in ways that I only could have imagined that they would be, and it comes so natural to them as well. Now, as part of that, certainly we need to continue to teach digital citizenship and what that means and what does that look like, and ensure that we're balancing all of those components. But I'm really pleased to see the level of engagement increase, the responsibility that students have taken under that, and certainly we're not where we want to be today, but we're making great strides forward. We need to support teachers in network and development. We need to make sure that we're bringing parents along in that process so they understand as well how to monitor what their students are doing or not doing. Really excited about some of the work that our high school teachers are doing at Holland High. They've actually written using iBooks Author, digital modules to replace textbooks that are interactive. So it's not just students completing worksheets on a tablet device. There's actually embedded videos. There's online polls and assessments. There's ways for students to connect out to get other resources. They're connecting across learning platforms, connecting across classrooms. And so learning is no longer confined to the four walls of the classroom between 8:15 and 3:12. It's really expanded beyond that. And if a student is outside of school, teachers are creating videos of their classroom lessons. So if I was absent, I can still watch the videos. That's kind of called flipped instruction, where the students actually watch the lecture or the lesson outside of the school day, and then they complete their independent work or their homework in school, where the teacher is there to support them in their work and do. We used to do the lecture in school, and we still have a fair amount of that, but we're transitioning, and the students do their homework at home. Well, if the student didn't pay attention well or didn't take their notes, or they have questions and the teacher isn't readily available, or mom and dad said, it's been a long time since I did Algebra 2. I'm not quite sure I can help you. Or the dog ate my homework. All those excuses we've heard over time, right?
Oh, it doesn't work.
It doesn't work. So instead of having the lecture in biology, this is what we're going to do tomorrow in our lab, and then you take 2 days to do the lab. You watch the lecture on the lab at home on your iPad, and then you come in the next day and you're actually able to start and do your lab. So it's interacting differently. We're also doing some blended instruction models where students are doing part-time work on campus and part-time work off of campus.
Got a call here.
Sure.
Good morning. You're online with our guest.
Good morning. I just wonder, I have a question. I understand that, and I wondered what the situation was with the library over at the high school. Are they temporarily closed at times, or is this a permanent thing? The library and the media center. I'd appreciate an answer on that. Thank you.
Thank you.
Yep, that's a very... Whoops, sorry, a little feedback there with the phone. That's a very good question in terms of what will media centers or what will libraries look like as we transform mm-hmm. in the 21st century, especially as so much of our materials that we're using are actually online and you're able to purchase licenses and have multiple copies of things. We have a combined media center slash business center. We actually have three different labs that are now part of our media center, where there's different levels of business instruction taking place throughout the course of the school day. And we still have a collection of actual books as well, because I think it's still very important to sit down with a book. There are certain things that I like to read with a hardcover book in my hand. There are certain things that I like to read online. Because there are classes that are occurring throughout parts of the day within the media center, there are different times that the media center is open for checkout and different times that are not. So I don't know the exact schedule, but I know that the media center is open before school and after school and at the lunch period times, and there are a couple hours in the morning when the media center is open too.
Mm-hmm.
So it's not open the full time as the media center had been in the past, but there still is access to the media center for book checkout and okay. circulation of that means.
All right. That's what we used to have in junior high building too. It was open just before school and after school.
Sure. And I think there's going to be that transition period of what do digital textbooks look like, and do they ever replace holding a book in your hand? And I don't know that will ever fully 100% occur.
Book.
Yeah, I do like to hold a book too. I'm very visual. I like to tag the pages. I like to do a lot of highlighting, and I can do that on an iPad. But it's not as easy for me if I'm reading an informational text to flip back to that section. I really want to flip back as quickly.
Right.
That may be just knowledge and use of the tool too.
Right. I think probably ought to talk a little bit about the state review of the district annual report.
Sure. Each year we're required to produce an annual report that talks about the performance of our schools, also includes our school improvement plans and what's happening in each building. You report out on the certifications of your teachers and their status of qualifications, parent-teacher conferences, and so forth. And so we had a brief presentation last night by our director of school improvement, Patty Dobiash, who highlighted a few pieces of our annual report. All of our annual reports, including the district annual report and individual building reports, are posted online at HollandPublicSchools.org. And there's a specific link there that says annual reports for individuals that would like to take a look at that. And there are also hard copies that can be made available in our school offices as well. And basically, to summarize our annual reports, while we're making progress in some areas, certainly there are other areas where there's room for improvement. And right now we're really focused on looking at how are different subpopulations of students doing relative to learning and what differences exist between students with disabilities versus students who do not, students who are on free reduced lunch versus students who are not, and also looking at the intersection of both of those variables across our different ethnicities as well. So how are our Latino students doing in comparison to our African-American students, in comparison to our Asian students, in comparison to our Caucasian students? And what we're finding as to be true, which is also true in many areas across the state and country, is that there are differences in achievement between the different groups. And really beginning to really further study that and ask our questions why. Why is that occurring when individuals are exposed to the same curriculum, the same standards, the same instruction? Why do we have differences across the board? And we really need to get a better handle on that and do better across all of our different subgroups of learning, because all of our students should be achieving at high levels. The Board of Education last night just approved a contract for me to work with Michigan State University. We're going to be working with some faculty there from their education department and doing an equity needs assessment across the board. And we're going to be looking at things relative to attendance and discipline, to hiring practices, to the ways in which we do professional staff development. We're going to be looking at curriculum. We're going to be looking at attendance in different levels of classes, doing some focus groups with parents and students and teachers and administrators. Truly begin to identify what may be some of the things that we may be unaware of that might be contributing to this. And I spent some time at the graduate school at Harvard last summer working with leaders across the country who are also experiencing some of these same phenomena to say, why is it? How do we better understand it? And how do we make sure that all of our students are excelling and achieving at very high
mm-hmm.
levels?
Mm-hmm.
So that'll be part of our ongoing work there, too. And a lot of that student data that's helping to drive that is embedded in our annual reports.
Okay, we just got a few seconds here to talk about a homecoming game.
Yeah, homecoming is coming up on Friday, September 27, there at the Sue and Ray Smith Stadium. Kind of challenging not to say municipal stadium anymore, but
yes.
It's been recently dedicated. And we'll be playing Grand Rapids Ottawa Hills at 7 p.m., and the Athletic Boosters are sponsoring a homecoming football tailgate. For $5, you can get a pulled pork, chips, and beverage right there out there outside the stadium.
Good.
And then come on in and enjoy a game of football. And Coach Prattley has been working to develop our team over time. And it's going to take some time to rebuild our football program in the way we need to, but he's been doing a great job in building the confidence, building the skill sets of our players, and come on out and support our Holland Dutch football team on Friday, September 27.